Today we are discussing one of my favorite topics, which is Sabbath. This episode is packed with why you should start Sabbath, the importance of rhythms, and of course, give some super practical tips to get you started. No matter if you are a busy mom or a single young adult, there is something here for you because Sabbath is for everyone. Welcome to Faith School Podcast. This podcast is for women of faith who are ready to be transformed from the inside out, to integrate their life and faith, and to begin a life on mission. This practical podcast is not just a list of how-tos, but it's here to prompt you to take action and adopt the kingdom way of life, surrender to a holy God. My name is Leah, and I'm joining you in the messy middle of a surrendered faith. Come on in, take a seat. Class is now in session. To those of you who are new to the podcast, welcome. And to my old faithfuls, welcome back. This week is the Sabbath Kickstart Challenge. Let me guide you towards a flourishing, life-giving, set-apart day of rest and worship. This challenge will set you up in exploring what brings you rest and how you worship, as well as practical tips on preparing for Sabbath and just so much more. Last year's participants are still crazy about their Sabbath experience, and I know that you are going to be too. One participant even said, "I was so blessed doing this last September. I highly recommend it to anyone desiring to live, love, serve, teach, work, and even play from rest." Yes, girl, that's right. That's exactly what it is. So join the challenge running this week from September 13th to 17th through the link in our show notes. I promise you, you are not going to regret signing up for this challenge. Okay, all right, let's dig in to the world of Sabbath. Before we go into kind of the how-tos and the really practical things, I want to just return back to why do we Sabbath? And first off, I want to give you my why. Before we did Sabbath, our lifestyle was honestly really unsustainable. We were constantly busy, overrun with responsibilities. You know, mamas especially, and really anyone else who is an adult, you know that the to-do list never ends. It is always building. There is never an end in sight. So Sunday was always our day to really just like catch up before launching into a regular work week with more new responsibilities. And it just wasn't a healthy way to live. There was never an end in sight. And I remember thinking as I was reading Present Over Perfect by Shauna Nequist, and I've mentioned this before, but it was such a moment of clarity for me. And it was the first time like I felt like I had permission to really slow down and to add structure to my life that would help me to reach my ultimate goal. And not necessarily like a working goal or a calling kind of goal or self-fulfillment, but a goal of really entering into regular worship, connection, and presence with our Almighty God and presence with my family. I wanted to be able to enjoy our house instead of the house really putting me to work every minute of every day. And especially when you have children, I only have one, but I felt so overwhelmed and I never gave myself the pause because I had felt like I had to be caught up all the time. And I just realized that does not work for me. Shortly after we started making these changes, we were hearing about Sabbath again, and it just kept coming up on different podcast episodes I was listening to, different readings that I was doing, but there was one particular episode with John Mark Comer and Annie F. Downs, and I'm going to link it in the show notes because this episode was, I'm going to say it, it was life-changing. It was a conversation between these two people who I do really respect. John Mark Comer has done tons of work on Sabbath and about slowing down. He's an excellent resource, but that episode was life-changing, and I've just never heard Sabbath being described the way that he was describing it before. And Sabbath is a gift. It's a gift from God for us. We are not for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath is for us. It is a gift. And so I'm going to ask you, before you go further in this episode, you can pause it or just take a second to think, why do you want a Sabbath? If you want a Sabbath, which I hope you do, why? Ask yourself why you want to enter into Sabbath. And I think that this will give you the clarity that you will need as we continue in how you want to walk out Sabbath. Okay? I also want to return back to the heart of Sabbath. And we did talk about it a little bit with Becca, and I'm so grateful for her and her insights. But I'm going to expand a little bit that Sabbath is a symbol of hope and freedom and fullness through Christ. So in the hope that we have, we know it's a promise of the rest that is to come. The return of the garden is coming. And we can remember this promise weekly that true rest is going to come. Perfect rest is going to come through Jesus when he returns. And you know what? Jesus came to restore and renew. This is also that reminder that that was why he came. He came to give us rest in him so we could be with him, so we were restored back to him. And I just love the symbolism of that in Sabbath every week. The other thing is freedom. So God's people were slaves off and on all throughout the Old Testament, but God freed them again and again. And ultimately and holistically, Jesus came and died for us to experience that same true freedom and rest, even fuller freedom and rest. So we can keep the Sabbath to honor what Jesus has delivered us from the bondage of slavery, working for our own salvation, and in the future from being a slave to the land where we're really breaking that curse and we are fully restored back to him. I love that picture, reminding us of what is to come. It's beautiful, and we need to remember that every week. That is that hope again, but it's a freedom that we get to experience as believers, which is just so beautiful. And the other thing is not only freedom from this curse that it came at the fall, but it's also a freedom from control. I love that. It's opportunity to show that we really trust God, that we can give him one day a week where we just show him how much we trust him, that he is at work even when we are not. And I'm going to be honest, like, this is not easy for me. I struggle with a little bit of, I would say, mild anxiety, and I like to get work done, and I like to feel accomplished. And Sabbath is my weekly reminder that God is still in control. He's still good, and he wants to give me good things like rest. So we can surrender a need for control for a day, and as a reminder, every week, that he holds it all. I love that. So remembering the heart of Sabbath, what God intends for us to experience and to be reminded of through Sabbath is just beautiful. Okay, let's get into the nitty-gritty though. These are where the questions came in about how do we actually do Sabbath, right? So here are the basics that you need to know. You need to know that Sabbath is rest and worship. Just remember that Sabbath is a gift for you. We already said this. It's a gift for you. And there's no one right way to do Sabbath. For example, we do ours on Sunday. That's just the day that we chose. It was the one that worked best for us. And I've heard of others who take a midweek Sabbath because they work on the weekends or they volunteer on the weekends. So it doesn't have to be a Saturday, which is actually the traditional day. They would go from Friday night to Saturday night. We chose Sunday because it's what works. So just remember that it's not one particular day that you have to stick to because that's what's always traditionally been. Make it work for you and your family. Just remember that this day is set apart. Whatever day it is, it's set apart for rest and for worship. Now, when I say the word rest, I want you to know that this is not just vegging on the couch, watching Hamilton all day, although I get it, you will never be satisfied. Okay. But a day to rest from the things that feel like work and doing others that refresh you and restore you. So some examples for me is I like to take a little nap. I like to enjoy a good book. And usually I try to make it something that is pointing me to Jesus, although I do enjoy other kind of just for fun books, but I try to make it something that I'm going to feel like I'm going to be closer to him because of it. I can go outside and enjoy the sunshine. You can spend time with your family. You can even spend time with friends. I think that's totally fine. But if it feels restful, that's the thing. It has to feel restful for you. If it starts to feel like work to be out seeing people, then take it off the table. Okay? And I also say that going off alone a little bit, so for myself, like as a mama, I hear you guys, don't worry. Going off by yourself for just a little bit to kind of come back, to be in the presence of God, you know, with that closed door in prayer, I think is super, super beneficial, and it's very restorative. It is for me anyway. So those are just like a kind of a short list of a couple things that I would do that I would put under that category of rest. Another question that I might ask myself is, what am I really dependent on? So maybe your Sabbath could be a day of rest from those things that you feel like you need. I have not been great at this lately, but something that I am trying to get back into is taking an Instagram break on Sundays, on my Sabbath, because I kind of feel like during the week sometimes that I need it. I say it's for work or whatever, but really it's just to pass the time. It's not necessarily because I actually need to be on there, but there is that little bit of dependence. So how could I maybe take my dependence off of this app and put it back on God? Well, I'm going to take my Sabbath to try and do that. How can we continue to show dependence on Him? The other thing that I would also consider and ask yourself is, how can we give other people rest? How can we serve through giving others rest? There's a couple ways you can do that. You can give your partner time alone to be with the Lord. You can carve out space for quiet time for your kids. I think that's really important. There has to be some kind of routine, established quiet time for them to be able to reconnect with the Lord too, right? They have to work on their relationship with God as well. And so I think that that's a good thing. We also decided to, for us, that we were going to try to kind of metaphorically or try to on purpose, give other workers a day off by not spending money on the Sabbath. Really a small thing, but it's a way for us to also remember that we must keep fighting for those who are enslaved and that they don't get days off. And I want to get better at remembering to pray for them on my Sabbath, that I would be a reminder to pray for those who are enslaved, who don't have as much of a choice as I do. Okay, let's get into worship. This is more my favorite part of this whole day. So when we think of worship, I think we need to maybe define it a little bit. And really, it's celebrating, it's giving reverence to, it's humbling ourselves before an almighty God. Sabbath comes from a posture of humility. It's really taking ourselves off of the throne and really remembering who God is and worshiping Him. So ask yourself, what does worship feel like for you? I think for everybody, it's just a little bit different. What is a way that you can reflect God or give back to Him? What's a way we can show gratitude, just praise and thanksgiving? I think that there is something really personal about worship. And so I think it's important to kind of go through in your own mind, what does worship really look like and feel like? And how do you feel like you're really giving yourself over to the Lord? I know not everybody's a singer, right? So maybe you have another form of worship. Maybe it could be service. That's worship. That's humbling ourselves to love the people that God's called us to love. So there's a number of different ways. I think that's a very personal thing to ask. So we can explore God's creation. That would be another way of worship, is to just be in His presence in a quieter way, maybe outside, being in what He has created. I would count that as worship. That's another more personal way. Okay. Sometimes though, I think worship is also creating. So that could be music. Sometimes I go and play at the piano and we'll sing together and Micah will plunk along with me. I also would consider art to be a form of worship. Lately on my Sabbath, I've really tried to create something and I've been trying to do more watercolor as something that's kind of not something I'm good at. So I'm humbling myself. But it's been something fun for me to be able to do, to just spend time with the Lord, to reflect, to create for Him, to be a reflection of who He is as a creator. There's also, I would consider writing to be a form of worship. Writing can sometimes feel like work to some people, but I think that you could worship through journaling, through doing something that's really private, something that's just between you and God. It could be poetry, it could be writing some of your observations, maybe it's writing a blessing. There's just so many different ways that we can worship God. Those are just like a few of the things that I've tried or that I know other people do. It's, again, I think it's really personal. Overall though, it's just an opportunity to reconnect with Him, to feel restored to him. Because over the week, it's busy, it's crazy, and you can feel disconnected. You can feel like you are not slowed down enough to really notice that he's there. He's always there, but we don't always notice, right? So this is our way to slow down, reconnect, worship. And really, it's a way to also be filled up for the week to come, because traditionally, Sabbath would have been the beginning. We would have started the week from a place of rest, right? So we're being filled up so that we can go out into the rest of our week. The next thing that I think is important to think about is when you're wanting to put in a Sabbath, I would consider Sabbath to be a weekly rhythm. So this is something that is predictable. It is a part of the schedule, but I think we need to break away from the idea of everything being like to the minute scheduled in. Of course, there's places for that. But I think in our homes, especially, just having a rhythm that gives you grace so that you don't feel like a failure or you don't feel shame if things don't work out perfectly, but something that you have decided to implement that is predictable, it's less rigorous, and it's really just implementing what is actually important to you. Again, I would consider Sabbath to be an example of a weekly rhythm. It's something that I know is coming up and that I can prepare for. Now, we're going to get into a little bit more about rhythms in our challenge. So again, if you want to know more about this, start thinking a little bit more about the rhythms in your home and in your life, join the challenge, because one of those days in the 5-day challenge is we are going to be talking about rhythms. But to know how to prepare for a Sabbath, here's what you need to do, okay? This is how you prepare for it. I want you to think like a teacher. I want you to think like a business owner. Teachers, business owners, of which those are some of my experiences. I'm sure there's more. But they know the outcome that they want to achieve, and they work backwards, and they implement backwards. So you know why you want a Sabbath. You know what you want your outcome to look like, what the experience is going to be as you Sabbath, and then you work your way back. Okay, so for myself, I know that I want it to be a really peaceful experience. I want it to be something that feels restorative, and to me, that means there's going to be peace. It's going to be quieter. It's going to be less chaos in my house and more order as I enter into it. Not necessarily that there's not going to be chaos on that day. Of course, there is. But when I wake up in the morning, I want to know that I'm walking into the home and it is a tidy living room and a tidy kitchen. That's just one little example. That's something that's important to me before we start Sabbath. So the night before, we put the house to bed, which is something we do anyway, and we just might do it a little bit more thoughtfully so that we're walking into a really calm, peaceful environment on Sunday morning. So if you know what you want it to look like, just work your way back to all the things that you might need to include so that Sabbath is just ready and waiting for you. It's kind of like a project every week, unfortunately, but I think it's really important, because you don't want anything to be distracting you from what Sabbath is ultimately going to be for, which is for rest and for worship. Okay? So think also what feels like work to you. Try to work on eliminating that thing and preparing for it. So for me, I hate deciding what to make for dinner. So I know exactly what we're going to be having on Sundays. We are going to be having pancakes, sausages, and fruit. And before that day, I am making sure I don't have to go to the grocery store for it last minute on Sunday. To me, that feels like work. I have all the ingredients ready Saturday. We're already checking to make sure that that is done. Saturday is a day where we do a lot of preparation. I really try to make more of an effort that anything that needs to be done before Monday, I try to get it done on Saturday as best as I possibly can. And sometimes you just need to let other things go. You're not going to get everything done for Monday. And sometimes you just need to let that go. Which is actually a great practice for Sabbath, because we want to remember that we are not in control, that God is still working on our behalf even when we are not, right? Even when we are taking a step back in rest, He is still at work. So I think that's actually a good reminder, and it's a good release of control. Another tip is just to try to make your Sabbath and that Sabbath rhythm and that Sabbath practice as predictable as possible. In my mind, this has actually calmed the chaos of my mind. When I was trying to think of like fun things to do, like each time was going to be different, I just got too much for me. It was more decision making that I had to do, and it just wasn't as healthy as it could be. So try to make it really predictable. I think this is actually really helpful when you have kids, and we can get into that a little bit more in this next section when I'm talking about children. But I think that predictability is actually a really healthy thing. Ultimately, though, guys, when it comes to preparing for Sabbath, think of it like you're going on vacation. When you go on vacation, you are getting the house ready. You're making sure that things are, you know, put away, that laundry is done, so you have all nice clean clothes, dishes are out of the way, garbage is taken out, and you have all your favorite books and activities set aside, and it's ready to go. And really, Sabbath is like your vacation every single week. It is the ideal day, quote unquote, every single week. So think of it like you're going on a vacation. I think that's the best way to think of it. Okay. Last thing to remember as you're preparing is just to have grace for yourself. Things are not always going to get done as perfectly as we'd like, but go forward with your Sabbath anyway. It really, again, is that reminder. It's a surrender of what you feel like you can control. All right, let's get into kids and Sabbath. Now, keep in mind, I only have one child. He is 3 and a half and he is very busy. And it does not feel very peaceful and calming to be around him a lot of the time. So we have learned a few things along the way that I hope will be really helpful. So the first thing is that reminder, again, to make it predictable and make it something that they can really look forward to. Micah knows on our church day, our Sabbath day, that we're going to have pancakes. He could tell you that. And so that's something that he actually really looks forward to. I've heard of other people that have like these little kind of rituals or things they do as a family. So one family I know, they will end the day with a movie and they get a treat during the movie. They get the popcorn and M&Ms and all that sort of stuff. And that's something that they look forward to. You could do a games night. You could go for a walk. You could go to the playground all together, or you could take a soccer ball outside, or there's so many different things that you could do. Maybe you're trying a new recipe together. You can just really get creative. And you know your own family, you know what is going to work, but I really think that there is something really valuable about having something kind of predictable that they're like, yes, Sabbath is coming and I know it's going to happen. I know it's a time to reconnect with my family and reconnect with God. And it's one of my favorite days of the week. I think that is actually very, very possible. A big thing to remember, I think, especially if you have children, is that you need to prepare Sabbath for them as well. This is a day not only for you, not only for you and your spouse, but it is a day for them too. So how can we include them as we prepare and as we implement Sabbath? How can we include them? So a few things. One thing that we really enjoyed is being able to have quiet time. So for me, it's being able to like go alone, just be with the Lord, be present with him, to read my Bible. My husband likes to do the same thing. Well, why not carve out a time for them to do that too? Instead of it being, you know, them reading the scriptures, although you could just bring out a kid's Bible for them to flip through, you could have an activity bin that is like a Sabbath only. They don't get to touch it unless it's on that day. So it's things that are going to feel newer all the time. So they're going to be a little more preoccupied for a little bit longer. Or maybe, you know, just a little mom hack, just put on VeggieTales. You know, it's not really a big deal for them to get a little bit of screen time. And if it's something where they could actually hear about Jesus too, hey, why not? Include them in the way that you worship. Include them in, you know, if you're going to be singing songs as a family together, or making music, if you're going to be doing art, have them come sit beside you and doodle on a piece of paper. You know, include them as best as you can, because remember that this is their Sabbath experience too. And your attitude towards Sabbath is going to say a lot to them about where they fit in and, you know, if they want to even continue having the practice in the future. So just remember that your attitude really does make a difference, and have grace for the situation. This is a season, especially when you have little children. I know that I'm not great at this, but I'm going to say it to myself as well, that it's important to have grace for them in this season, that they're being included in actually walking out the faith and knowing it's just not going to go as perfectly as you always hope. And that's okay. That's just the way it is. Another little tip is just to take turns with the kids so that your spouse can have time alone with the Lord. If things are just not going well and none of these strategies are working, just take turns and know that it's just not going to be as long, or it's just not going to go as perfectly planned, but we definitely do that. We take turns where we both get, you know, half an hour, 45 an hour alone, and we find that time to be extremely valuable. But again, just embrace the season, Don't resist whatever season that you are in. It will pass. And we can just remember to stay grateful for what we have in those moments too. All right, lastly, we're going to talk about setting boundaries. I'm not great at this. I'm just going to be super honest. Setting boundaries is not my forte. I am learning how to do it and I'm getting better. And especially around Sabbath, because I just know how much it fills me up for the rest of the week that even if, you know, it's a Sunday where we have family in town or we're with family, I still want to keep the spirit of Sabbath throughout the whole day and have those boundaries in place. And it's not going to be like the exact Sabbath that I would like to have or that I normally do. But because I have some boundaries in place for myself, I'm still getting a bit of that Sabbath experience. Now, it can be hard for people to accept that you are doing Sabbath. I'm just going to be honest. If this is something that you want to do, not everyone is going to be on board. They're not always going to understand why you want to do it and why you are setting these boundaries. And you know what? Honestly, who cares? I feel bad saying that, but I think that it's important to say like, hey, this is a part of my faith. This is a really important day for me to feel connected and restored to God, and my relationship with Him is more important. And guys, people get used to it. I'm just going to say this. I think that people around us, at least, they've gotten used to us doing Sabbath. And after a while, people start to adapt. They recognize that it's important to you, that it's good for your relationship with the Lord. And even if they're not believers, they're going to be like, huh, you're allowing one of these days to be just peaceful and to connect with family. And I think that in the beginning, people aren't going to understand, and that's okay. But after a while, they will. They're going to adapt for you. I'm pretty loud about our Sabbath practice. People know that we have Sabbath on Sunday, and they're generally pretty respectful. So there's this principle kind of in business that you can actually train people to treat you the way that you want to be treated. Like your clientele, your audience, you have to teach them what they can expect from you. And I would say apply this. We can teach other people what's important to us, and they're able then to respect that this is just a part of our lives. And this is just what we do. So part of our Sabbath as well is that we like to include community in it. This isn't going to be for everybody. Some people, they're not going to want to be around anybody else, and that's totally fine. But we've actually found that community is really life-giving for us. So we are more than willing to include community into our Sabbath practice. So I would say, though, if you're doing that and you're like, hey, that actually sounds like me, I like to be around people, I would just say, if it ever starts to feel stressful to meet up with anyone or to go to that extra birthday party or that extra thing, it starts to feel like work, just toss it, all right? You don't have to participate. That's the beauty of Sabbath. It's like, you know what? This just isn't sitting with me well this week, and so I'm just not going to do it because I promised myself that on Sabbath, I'm not going to do things that feel like work, and sometimes being around certain people feels like work. We can be honest and say that. So you have to evaluate that within yourself, and you don't have to say, hey, it feels like work to be around you, so I'm not coming. You know, it's just, hey, this is our Sabbath, and we just can't add another appointment or anything else to our schedule at this time. We have a lot of out-of-towners that come to stay with us. We have family that lives out of town. So when they're with us, we've just tried to include them in it. You can also shift it to another day of the week if that works for you. But I think for the most part, people don't mind that. They don't mind being included in what's important to you. I mean, you read the situation, but we have just given ourselves permission to do that. Another note is that I understand that if you are working from home, that can be really hard to have Sabbath because you have all these reminders all around you that you have work to do, that there's things to do. And even if you don't work from home, you see all the other things that need to get done. And I just want to give you permission to just shut that part off. I've had to make those shifts in my own mind, in my own head, as to what I participate in. It is a discipline. And so just remember that it's not necessarily going to come easy not to do work, even though like we're like, oh, vegging sounds like fun. But you know what? It does take a certain discipline to say, I can't do that today because I know it's good for me. It's a gift to me not to be able to do that today. Okay, so those are just some of the boundaries that we've established or the way that we've dealt with other people in Sabbath. You have to find what works best for you. But these have been really, really helpful for me as we've tried to figure this out. So there you go. I know that was a lot of information. So I'm going to recap it in kind of 5 phrases, and then I'm going to encourage you to join our Sabbath challenge next week that will really kickstart you into developing an actual plan for yourself, for your family, and your own unique situation. We're going to break it all down again, and we're going to get you putting these things into practice so that you can start your Sabbath. Oh, I'm so excited for you. If you're already doing Sabbath and you just want to keep tweaking it, as we are constantly, every week we're like, that worked, that didn't work. You will find what works for you over time. And I think it's totally, totally fair and totally fine that we are tweaking it all the time. And I still think that if you are in that season where you are making these little tweaks to your Sabbath, that you're going to find a lot of value in joining this challenge. And a lot of that is because I want you to get the support and to have that camaraderie with other people within our Facebook group. And you might even pick up a few more ideas. So here's that 5-phrase recap. 1, know your why. 2, remember it's for rest and worship. 3, remember the rhythms. 4, protect the Sabbath. And 5, give grace. I hope this episode helps you as you start to consider what is possible for you and your relationship with God with your own Sabbath practice. Don't forget to sign up for the Sabbath Kickstart Challenge running this week from September 13th through 17th. There is a rumor that this could be the last time that this challenge is free. Just saying. So make sure that you sign up this year for the challenge. Next week, we discuss what a submitted, integrated faith is and how we can apply it to our own lives. Integrated faith is when we look at all areas of our lives and make sure they're all submitted to the Lord, that God can redeem all areas of our lives and so that it glorifies Him. It's a really near and dear topic to me that I am really excited to have you listen in on. If you want to catch me on the socials, you can find me at leah.rempel or at faithschoolpod on Instagram or in our Facebook group, Faith School. I'm happy to continue serving you on those platforms. Thank you for spending a little time with us today at Faith School and I-68 Ministries. We are praying that you feeling fully surrendered today to the God who made you, loves you, and wants to partner with you. Class is now dismissed. Go out there and reveal His kingdom.